T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Ron Coomer, Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
Unbelievable.
1999 American League All-Star.
You might expect Wells to mix his pattern up. I mean, Coomer has owned David Wells.
This might work out.
The Coom Dog, every week with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. There's nothing like talking baseball, talking Cubs baseball with Ron Coomer. And the Score Hotline is presented by Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com. Ron, what a joy. Good morning to you, sir.
Morning, Ron.
Mikey, David, how are you boys doing? I am doing very, very well here in the sunshine of Florida. We're ready to hear the crack of the bat and get baseball season started. Got a chance to watch a game last night, so that was entertaining. And I'm ready. I was listening to you guys, and Mike, I heard you talk about sitting in the stands, that there's no way they're going to keep you out of a ballpark with a dog and a cold one and sitting there. If Mitch will give me the day off, I'll go with you.
You're on. You know, it's got to happen, doesn't it? Don't we desperately need that? Just the idea of sunshine and a cold drink and the crack of the bat. I mean, it's a dream that has been harbored in my soul for this last year. And I'm hoping that starts pretty quickly. And I know they've made a great presentation to the city. And I love the city of Chicago. And I hope that we get this organized.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think all three of us feel the same way, right? We want some normalcy in our life. We want to be able to commune a little bit with our baseball friends and go watch a ball game and have some of that fun. So let's just keep our fingers crossed that everything keeps going the right way. It seems it is with this pandemic and these numbers. So it was great, you know, even just watching last night and hearing fans when the ball was hit, and hearing people in the stands and all of that. So, I just can't wait.
So, Ron, as you watch the Cubs from afar and you see the way things have gone this week, what has stood out as an encouraging sign? I think, as I was talking to Bruce earlier, when you have new players and they do something early on, it just creates more of an enthusiasm. It's very encouraging because you're waiting to see who these guys are. And so when Jock Peterson homers and Trevor Williams looks as good as he did and Zach Davies shows the kind of command, it builds the excitement that you already have heading into spring training.
Well, there's no doubt the fan base and the organization, they kind of, you know, a little sigh of relief that, okay, we're at least that very first step, David, you're off and running and things are good. And I would agree. I think for all of those guys, including the young guys, I would say Nico Horner is another guy you can throw into that mix because he's such a young player. So all those guys have gotten off to a good start. I got to watch Williams yesterday, and him and Jake Arrieta are going to be somewhat similar when you watch them throw. But, you know, he's not a great command guy, but he's a little funky and has that good riding fastball with a good slider. And, you know, last night, it seemed to me he had a little bit of that swing and miss in that fastball. He gets around the outside of the baseball and it cuts across the zone to the right-handers. He got a punch out on that, and I remember seeing that with the Pirates. So if he can bring some of that to the table and stay out of the middle of the plate, he's going to be very good. He really will.
So, Ron, I've been dying to ask you this question. If you put your batting helmet on and you get ready for a series against the Cubs, does it matter to you, does it help you as a hitter if you're facing a kind of low-velocity staff, a pitch-to-contact staff? It doesn't mean that you're going to be able to batter one guy more than another or anything like that, but how does it change when you don't have a fireballer between similar pitchers?
Well, there's a couple things that happen. One, the intimidation factor when you're facing a command guy that doesn't throw hard, that you know is going to hit just about every spot he's trying to hit, whether it be Hendricks or Davies, right? I mean, we understand that. So that adrenaline rush of going to home plate that you get facing a guy, let's say, pick any guy in the league that's throwing 97 to 100 miles an hour, say Chapman. You have a different feeling in your body going to home plate against Chappie than you do against Kyle. They can both get you out and that thing, but it's just a different, you know, they zip that 100-mile-an-hour fastball under your jawbone, and that will get your attention. I promise you that. It's happened. Getting hit with a changeup at 82 is a lot different than getting hit with a 100-mile-an-hour heater. So that is the one thing that I would say stands out probably for me in thinking of the years that I played, probably more so than anything. But you know what's really frustrating is going into the clubhouse after a ball game and thinking that was the most comfortable 0-for-4 I've ever had. That really pisses you off because you go, God, I could, if I just stay, if I, and there's a lot of ifs and a lot of I should haves, and how did I take that pitch? And it just drives you crazy. And I think there's going to be a lot of hitters going back to the clubhouse 0-for-4 on the opposing side when they face Kyle and Davies, that's for sure.
Ron, what do you expect in the way of a change in approach, if any change at all, at the plate from Javi Baez? He talked at length last year about how he missed not having the video to go to between at bats. He alluded to it again the other day on the ESPN broadcast. It sounds like an excuse, but you know what? If he believes it's a factor because hitting is such a mental thing as well. Will that make an impact? What do you expect from Javi at the plate this year?
Well, I don't know if it'll make an impact. I mean, that's to be determined. But I would say this. If I was his hitting coach, I would say if that's what he feels, let's go with it. He's a star player. He's got star ability with the bat in his hand. And I'm good with that. So you have to back your player. You have to back your guy. And to me, it was real simple. He was getting himself out. They were spinning the ball and throwing a lot of off-speed pitches and just not throwing him many strikes. And as the lack of success continued for Javi, he couldn't take a step back and go, they're just not going to throw me strikes, so I'm just going to stand here. He'd have been better off a lot of times going up there with no bat in his hand, and I say that loosely and jokingly, but it's true, than with a bat in his hand because they weren't going to pitch to him. And he was getting himself out, you know, on breaking balls. So he'll see that with the video. There is no doubt. And here's my big take with Javi. If we see Javi Baez hitting spin and hitting it the other way or hitting the fastball the other way, and right center field is a spot where you see him hitting a lot of baseballs, you're gonna have a phenomenal year from Javi.
You know, I think Jock Peterson's going to have a big year, and I think of that reason that he's going to play more. And I understand that the splits are really different between the right-handed lefty thing, but I think that he is a veteran player. He's in that wheelhouse, and I think he's got something to prove, especially with his contract. So I'm actually anticipating that he might be a slight upgrade, as much as that sounds absurd.
I hope you're right. Mikey, I watched him over the years face left-handed pitching. And when you don't get to do it on a regular basis and then you get thrown in there, let's say later in a game, or it's really tough for the left-handed hitter. So, you know, he's going to get some consistent at-bats against lefties. And the Cubs do have some options of putting some other people out there against a really tough lefty. He's a guy, just in talking with some of the Dodger people, he's an upgrade in the outfield over Kyle. You know, that's his natural position, and he can run. You look at his splits through his career, and it's got platoon, you know, as they were saying on the broadcast a couple of days ago, it's got platoon written all over it. But, you know, he's a talented guy. And, you know, the encouraging thing, like you were talking about right here at the beginning, was where his home run went, right? It stayed in the middle of the diamond. If he can stay to the middle of the diamond in all of his at-bats, at least in his approach, then he's got a chance to succeed against the left-handed pitchers. If he starts pulling a lot and you see that, that's where he's going to get into some problems facing the lefties. But very talented guy. The Dodgers spoke highly of him, some of my friends over there. So I hope you're right. He would be great for Ian Happ to have Hayward and Peterson with Ian in center field. It would really help Ian defensively too.
Ron, you wonder if second base has platoon written all over it as well. That's not maybe what Nico Horner wants to hear, but the Cubs did go out and they signed Eric Sogard to a minor league contract. He's a veteran left-handed hitter who could be the Jason Kipnis of 2021. But you also look at Nico off to a very good start. Talk to him about opening his stance, being more athletic. I still think you wonder what you have in Nico Horner. I think he looks promising. He has been, you know, on a pretty fast path to the majors, so maybe you don't know how sustainable that is. What do you expect this season from him?
I look at Nico Horner, and once he figures out the league and gets more information about what they're trying to do to him, when, you know, he's a baseball player, David. I look at him, and to me, there's certain guys like Javi's a baseball player. Anthony's a baseball player. You know, you got guys that they're just ball players. You know, KB, when he runs around the field, you know, whether he's hitting or not, he can play multiple positions. He's an athlete. He's a ball player. Nico's a ball player. He's one of those kids that knows how to run the bases. He can play multiple positions. And I just think he needs more info on what they're trying to do to him as a hitter. And when he starts grasping that and he can put that into action in the game, he's going to be very good. I look at him and eventually he's going to be the second baseman for the Cubs. There's just, to me, that's what I see. He had a very nice night last night. He took an off speed or a pitch inside and he hooked it into the left field corner. And he had a good at bat of staying back on the ball against some good fastballs. And then finally got the head of the bat to one and shot one the other way down the right field line for a double. So that's very encouraging. But I like what the Cubs did. I think you're protecting Nico by getting a left-handed bat that is going to take some of those tough, you know, 15 to 20 at-bat stretches away from him when he's, you know, just going to struggle against some righties when he's pulling off and doing some of those things that all young hitters do. You got a veteran guy that can play defense and take some pressure off him.
I love the first run yesterday, right? Where he's on first base. There's a you know, wild pitch. He gets the second. He's putting the defense under pressure, stealing third. The throw goes in the outfield. You got to run, and you got to run. That I mean, you want to talk about frustrating? If you're LA, you didn't even do anything, and you're kicking the ball around, and they're scoring on it. That drives people insane. And he's good. He's fast. He's a good player.
He is. He's a ball player. You guys, you know, when you watch certain guys, I remember when Sandberg first came to Chicago, he was stealing bases. He wasn't a big home run guy, but he was doing a lot of things on the field that helped you win games. And I think that's what you saw with Javi. And in 16, Javi was havoc for the other team. They would see him get on the bases, and you'd just be like, you know, one of them shaking your heads like a cartoon, like, what just happened? He stole home. We threw to third and he went home. He did that in a World Series game. I mean, he was fearless. And I think Nico can bring some of those things to the table. KB is a great base runner. So when you get athletic and you get those guys on base, you look like a baseball team. You don't look like an all or nothing type of group that they had last year because, you know, let's face it, when you hit 200, you're not on base. So you can't do those things that, you know, make the team look good by running around the bases and putting pressure on the opposing team.
Okay, Coom, have to know where you stand on the great spring training debate over flipping innings and the integrity of exhibition games. What do you think about what's been happening? What do you think about what's been said about what's been happening?
Well, I'll give you my PG version of it. How's that?
Great.
I look at what we're doing last night, and I started laughing when Rick Monday, the Dodger broadcaster, great Cub, you could just hear it in his voice. We're doing it again. 20 pitches, and we're off the field. It's the fifth time we've done it here with the Dodger game. And I started laughing. I'm like, really? So when the season ended last year, all the baseball players went home and didn't know we were going to play in February? The whole league didn't know that we were going to start February 15th, that's when they were told. And now you bring enough guys into camp. And, you know, I mean, I get at the end of the game when you run out of pitching in the ninth and you go, you know, managers look across the field and go, I'm out of pitching now. I'm out. Or the eighth. But, you know, flipping the inning over, that's when you get to see all these young guys get their chance. Is later in the game, the game gets a little out of whack and a manager gets to see who he's got, what he's got. And now you don't get that. So I know. My PG. I don't like it, David. How's that?
I know a guy was watching a Sox game, and they loaded the bases with the Abreu coming up, and they just walked off the field. And I just heard this screaming of, you yellow belly sons of dogs. Right? And then I realized it was me. I mean, I just want to see completion. Come on.
Right? Gosh. That hot dog after that didn't have a chance, did it, Mullen?
But Rob, but Coom, if you're a player, though, in the midst of spring training, you probably don't mind it as much as you, the old school analyst, watching it from afar, right?
No,
I
understand that.
Welcome this.
Yeah, I understand. I understand the thoughts behind it. But, you know, at times we're just, you know, you can't slide into the guy at second. You, heaven forbid you hit the catcher. You know, now we're taking 20 pitches and we're done. I mean, seriously.
Game's soft, Ron. It's gone soft. I'm like,
come on now. Let's just play baseball. Three outs, and then you go off the field. 20 pitches? Jake Arrieta in some innings in the first was just getting tuned up in 16 at 20 pitches in the first. You know, I mean, same with Lester. You know, it happens. But I understand protecting the guys. I really do. But to make it just an overall rule and this seven innings or five innings or six innings, Molly, did mustard go flying in the house when you were watching it?
You know, you got to stop with the hot dog thing. David was talking about hamburgers earlier. It's Lent. It's Friday. I'm an Irish Catholic. This is killing me.
Filet of fish everywhere.
There you go.
I got a fish special at my restaurant tonight. Go there.
All right. There we go.
Yeah, Coom's Corner. Let's go. Yes. That sounds great.
Thanks, Coom.
All right, Rod. God bless you. Great talking.
Great
boys,
stuff.
Boys, miss you guys. Can't wait to get back home and start calling some games from Wrigley. And Molly, I'll buy you your hot dog if you ever get back to Wrigley Field. How's that?
I'll buy you your beer, whether you can
Perfect.
Have it or not.
I'm in. Yeah, it's great.
If Miss you guys. If you're not allowed it while broadcasting, I'll drink it for you, too.
Thanks, Ron.
You heard that, Mitch, right?
Yeah, Mitch heard.
All righty, buddy.
See you,
Thanks
boys.
So much, Rod.
Yep.
That is Rod Coomer. What a great man. Good man to talk to. That's fun. I kind of, you know, look, David, I get it. I understand the whole 20-pitch thing, and I got it. It's registered. But if you're watching a game, and especially in a spring training situation, you're just so loose and easy. You're not worried. Why not? How about this? Let him make a pitching change for one batter or something. But let Abreu bat with the bases
fine.
Loaded.
I love hearing what Coom had to say, the old school analyst weighing in the first game, Mully, on the score, first Cubs game a week from today, March 12th.
Excellent. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
You start out with him as a starter and waiting and getting some experience and learning. But as the season gets on and the opportunities that are there and the way he competes, you know, we're going to try and win. So you take your best shot, and he's going to try and be part of that best shot. So not putting any limitations on him.
and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Tony La Russa, and he's talking about Michael Kopech. And Michael Kopech has been the subject of much talk on this program because one of us has earmarked him as their favorite player, whether they admit it or not. He's your David Bodie. He is your White Sox version of. What do you think?
Well, I would like to see him do well because I do like the – you pull for a guy who has been as open, as transparent, and as introspective as Michael Kopech has been. And then when you combine that with the enormous potential that he has, Mully, I think that, yeah, for me, he is one of the easier guys to root for on the White Sox. And I do believe he's also one of the most enjoyable pitchers to watch just because he can bring it. And when he goes up that tick or two in velocity the way he referred to yesterday, you know what that means. That means three digits, right? He can hit 100 or higher, and you have to stop yourself. I have to stop myself from getting too carried away because, number one, he's young. He's 24. Number two, he's had the injury and only made four major league starts. So gradual in terms of his development. Slow down in terms of the expectations. I'm talking to myself here. And remember that he is still, you know, in a very young pitcher prone to inconsistency, even though I think he does have Cy Young Award potential.
I'm curious to see what his relationship ends up being like with Ethan Katz. You know, I think that the White Sox have a pitching coach now that is a little bit different. We know the work he did with Giolito. We know how Giolito has recommended him and all the rest of it. I'm just really curious to see how that works out, how if in any way there is an impact from the pitching coach on Michael Kopech.
It's a great point. It's a good question because, you know, you know somebody who is as cerebral as Michael Kopech. Sort of, it sounds odd to call him cerebral just based on how much physical talent he has. And yet, you know, with Michael Kopech, the issue, I think, is from the shoulders up. And if he can stay healthy mentally in his approach, in his just he's addressed his anxiety. He's addressed these kinds of things that have gotten in the way in the past. Yes, that's a big factor. I think you see some encouraging signs or you hear them. When you heard Michael Kopech talk about how he went to Aaron Bummer and talked to Aaron Bummer about what it was like to be a guy coming out of the bullpen and he Yep. valued Aaron Bummer's advice, it suggests that this is a coachable young man. This is somebody who's going to respond to a 30-something pitching coach who has the cachet of being Lucas Giolito's buddy and high school coach as well. So I think it's a good question, but I do think he's coachable.
You know, I got to tell you, it's so much fun to watch the Sox and see guys that I forgot were even on the team, right? Like at one point, Zach Birdie was he the second of two first-round picks that year? He was thought to be on the fastest track, and I, you know, he went through the surgery. He's still recovering. I'm not getting ahead of myself or anything, and he did struggle a little bit when I did manage to see him earlier in the summer. But I just had forgotten about him because I know the list of names that are relievers, and I know the list of names that have been added to be relievers before they become the impact starter, and I'm using air quotes. But I forget sometimes that there are other guys that once you thought big things were coming, and maybe now you have lower expectations, which allows them to grow into something a little bit.
That's how you build organizational depth. That's what the Sox really have. They struggled for a few years. There was pain, but this was always the desired goal of you struggle, you pay your dues, and then you accumulate talent. And Zach Birdie's a good example. There was a time where he was the guy that you thought would be on the fastest track. And now he still could have a bright future, but he's in line behind some other guys whose turn will come before his. So that's a good sign for the Sox. When you have guys who you have heard of for a while waiting their turn, that means the people in front of them, they're qualified. And guys like Crochet and Kopech,
yeah,
and Bummer and other guys as well. It's just, there's a lot of talent there.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to break it down with Steve Stone next. We'll bring in Stoney. We can talk about expectations. I can't wait to ask him about Ethan Katz and what he's seeing as he watches this this rotation and this bullpen kind of develop a little bit. And again, we're seeing a lot of guys that aren't going to be impact players, so we're getting a good sense of what's going on with the White Sox. We'll do that next with Steve Stone. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Bernstein and Rahimi, middays, 9 a.m. to noon on the Score.
White Sox closer Liam Hendricks.
Now it's, I don't care what he does well, what does he suck at, and that's what I'm going to approach. Because that gives you a very minimal place to kind of put a pitch rather than, okay, where do I have the most room for error? Let's attack that part. And then it's, it kind of completely changed everything. And now I look at it, and I'm on the mound now, and I don't care who's in the box. I'm better than them, and let me prove it.
Dan Bernstein and Leila Rahimi, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
This segment is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Let O'Reilly Auto Parts take the guesswork out of finding a great repair shop. Call any O'Reilly location or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You know how to get through this crazy winter? Get in on the NHL, the NBA, tennis, soccer, you name it at BetRivers.com. Go to BetRivers.com or download the BetRivers Illinois app from the App Store and start wagering from the comfort of your own home. It's great to have skin in the game with your hometown sportsbook, BetRivers. Place your bets, and let me tell you something. You can back your favorite teams with BetRivers. You get fast payout approvals with Rush Pay. Earn $250 in match rewards on your first deposit. Bet with a trusted team that puts you first. You can deposit into or withdraw cash from your BetRivers.com account. Download the app or bet online with BetRivers.com, your hometown sportsbook. Bet where I bet. Download the BetRivers app at the App Store or go to BetRivers.com. Do it now. Not valid for any participant of the Illinois Gaming Board statewide voluntary self-exclusion program. Must be 21 years of age or older. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537.
Give your bathroom a makeover and save 11% on everything. Now at Menards. Add the finishing touch to your bathroom project with towel bars, paper holders, robe hooks, and grab bars from Delta. With over 22 collections to choose from, find something to complement any decor. Best of all, they're all 11% off. Good through March 6th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
The PointsBet Sportsbook is now open at their Crestwood and Hawthorne Racecourse locations. Stop by after the tournament teams are announced and enter the $10,000 Bracket Challenge. Come watch all college basketball games and enter to win a 65-inch TV. Each convenient location offers safe and easy options for you to deposit money and make cash bets on all March basketball. You can stop in to place your bets and go in minutes. Download the app now and sign up with code WSCR to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
March is Problem Gambling Awareness Month. Are you or a loved one spending too much on gambling? Gambling when feeling distressed? You're not alone. We know the feeling. Gambling does not have to control your life. Help is available and recovery is possible. The Family Guidance Centers, NICASA, or the Way Back In are here to help all month long. For a free assessment, visit weknowthefeeling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Miami Heat star Duncan Robinson knows a thing or two about being overlooked. From beginning his college career at a D3 liberal arts school to starting in last year's NBA Finals. Now, on his new podcast, The Long Shot, Robinson celebrates the most unlikely and unexpected success stories in sports and beyond. Join Duncan and his co-host Davis Reed on The Long Shot podcast as they sit down with those who have proven naysayers wrong and overcame the odds. The Long Shot with Duncan Robinson and Davis Reed is available now for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your shows.
The opening bell brought to you by Glenview Luxury Imports. The Dow up 278 points, sitting at 31,202. Chicagoland's newest Maserati dealer has arrived in Glenview. Visit Maserati of Glenview today or online at MaseratiGlenview.com.
Is pitching, both starting and relief pitching, is that the strength of the White Sox? We'll ask Steve Stone in 60 seconds.
Let's be real. Mopping is a hassle. You have to fill the bucket, pushing a wet, heavy mop around, then cleaning the mop when you're done so it doesn't grow bacteria. A hassle on top of a hassle. Try Swiffer WetJet. With Swiffer WetJet, you start with a fresh pad and cleaning solution every time. And when you're done, you just toss the pad. Swiffer WetJet. The faster, easier, cleaner way to clean your floors.
Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business and powered by Intel Core processors. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more. All with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Again, that's 877-ASK-DELL.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
You knew that we were going to come to a moment like this where these young players were going to be asked to contribute at the major league level. And, you know, you look around, well, I know what this guy's capable of doing. I know what this guy's capable of doing. These guys can be impact guys. Fortunately, we were able to get a lot of them to get a taste last year and have some early success and obviously be part of that run, get into the playoffs. They're just hungrier, but they've gained more confidence. They're learning how to play together and have fun while doing it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Chris Getz. We had a chance to talk to him earlier in the week. Really enjoyed that. And thrilled now to bring in our friend Steve Stone. The Score Hotline is presented by Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or APFord.com. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Steve.
I'm just terrific. Hi, boys. I hope you're as excited as I am about a couple of different things. Number one, the baseball season getting underway, and number two, a little bit closer every day to opening day, which is, in my estimation, one of the great days of the year. So I think everybody associated with White Sox baseball is just ecstatic with what's happened so far and what we see going forward.
And you know, it's fun because I think Tony La Russa has been sort of playing along with the media a little bit. And as he's asked these questions about different players, he kind of marvels at them as if he's seen them for the first time. Now, I know Tony is a guy that's done a ton of work on everything, but he is playing along a little bit. And it's fun to hear him kind of appreciating this team that he's seeing.
Well, I think what he's taking a look at on a daily basis is a plethora of enormous talents. And the only question then remains, how many will be able to take that step or two forward they're going to need over a long championship season to take this team to where they want to get, which is winning the World Series. So he looks out at Luis Robert and just marvels at the tremendous skills he has, knowing that he was an advisor for the Angels and he was looking at Mike Trout, state-of-the-art kind of guy, and realizing that Luis Robert has everything that Trout has and maybe a touch faster than he is. So I think when he looks at all of the talent, he sees Moncada coming back, he sees Eloy Jimenez, one of the really gifted young hitters in the game, and then takes a look at his bullpen. You know, Tony loves bullpens. Tony was one of the guys that helped refine the roles in the bullpen when he was out in Oakland and certainly at St. Louis, a lot of different places. And he's got a lot of tools out there. So I look at the ball club and I realize that certain guys have a ways to go, but I look at the talent they have, and I think the sky is the limit to where this team winds up.
And you know, Steve, Tony's best year in Chicago was 1983. That was also the year that Ethan Katz was born. And so I think he provides a really good compliment to Tony as the new pitching coach. And I know you've had some interactions with Ethan Katz that have impressed you. What has stood out most in your conversations with him, and what impact do you think he'll have on this staff?
Well, look, a number of different things. Number one, he understands the integration of both the physical and the mental aspect of pitching. He said you can't get near as much out of the physical aspect of what you're doing unless you refine the mental processes. And I think he has put his stamp on his team, starting with Giolito, and it's going to go down from guy to guy. I think you're going to see Cease make a tremendous improvement. He's going to ease Michael Kopech through the bullpen transition that he's had to make, at least at first. And I look at Ethan Katz, and I look at a 37-year-old guy who can speak young pitching baseball, who also has a tie to old school. I think he has a great understanding of what each and every one of these guys needs. And he said he looked at video a tremendous amount before he ever started talking with these pitchers. And he looked at the style to which they use. He knew that he couldn't remake most of these guys. What he wanted to do was improve on what they did best. And I think that's one of the things that he talked about, as well as never having a side session that wasn't beneficial. Work on something. Give these guys some sort of game competitive aspect to their side session so that they work and they strive and they get better every day. I liked a lot of what he said. I think he's going to be terrific. And, you know, one of the keys will be Michael Kopech, not only this year but going forward. And making that transition to the bullpen for a guy who was a lifetime starter and understanding that an organization that I'm very familiar with, the Baltimore Orioles in years past, used to take all of their young players and put them in the bullpen first, that first blush of the major league experience, and then they came out a whole lot better for it. So I think he's going to make a big difference to a lot of guys, and he has instant credibility for what he did with Lucas to make him the pitcher that he's been the last couple of years.
Yeah, you know, no question about that. I look at this pitching staff, and it's so much improved. But we all know that one of the great issues in baseball is going to be how you stretch guys out, how much usage, how you're careful about last year. Do you have any – what would you do about – I mean, how many starters are you going to need, Steve? How are you going to handle – getting to a certain number of innings and maybe stretching beyond it, hopefully for a playoff run?
Well, I think, first of all, you need to have your five, and then you need to have some insurance policies. And that's going to come into play more and more as we get through the season, because coming off a 60-game year and some of the guys coming off injury, like Kopech, who basically hasn't thrown any length of time in the last 2 years, Carlos Rodon, who doesn't have any innings build up over the last couple of years, you're going to have to really protect some of these guys. But there are people who speculate that you might want to have your five starters and maybe two or three more, guys that are in waiting, guys that can give you multiple innings out of the bullpen. Most teams are going to go with that one extra arm out of the bullpen, because bear in mind, it's not going to be 28 this year like it was when we started out last year. It's going to be 26 guys on your roster. And so people want that one person out of the bullpen that will take away the one move you have on the bench. Excuse me. I think apparently, especially in the American League where you don't have pitchers hitting, you're not going to need the moves off the bench, so you have one more reliever. But I think this year, for the first time in a long time, those guys are going to be interchangeable. I know Tampa Bay has done that a lot. I think a lot of people will take a look at what the Rays have done and say, you know what, not a bad idea. Make it interchangeable with your AAA team, which means that one of the most or two of the most valuable players are going to be guys with major league experience who still have options, because you don't risk losing them if you send them down. And so it's going to be a delicate dance done by every front office and every managerial pitching coach combination to figure out who we use, how we use them, how many times he gets up, where can we get a little bit extra from this guy, a little bit less from that guy. And this is going to be that intricate dance that we're going to see all year long, sending guys down, bringing them back up, having an emergency starter here or there. So I can't give you a number, because it depends on injuries and it depends on who's going to develop, depends on which arms are stronger than others. There was one thing that I heard from a lot of major league managers that I bear in mind, and that is the best pitching staff doesn't always win. When you get to August and September, the healthiest pitching staff wins. That's where Tony La Russa excels. He has a great understanding of what to do with his pitchers. He had Dave Duncan for many, many years. Now he has Ethan Katz. You can't compare Dave Duncan with Ethan Katz at this point because Dave has done it. If there was a Hall of Fame for pitching coaches, he would certainly be there. By the way, along with Don Cooper, who would be there. But Ethan Katz is going to get there. He needs experience. He's going to get it. He and Tony La Russa are going to work hand-in-hand to ease this team through this season. And the pitching staff, both bullpen and starting rotation, is going to be, as it usually is, but more so this year, one of the great keys to unlocking a championship season for the White Sox.
Let's look a little closer at that bullpen, Steve. You know, I think that there's been heavy praise heaped upon it this spring for good reason. You get Liam Hendricks, you get a healthy Aaron Bummer, you look at the way roles could be defined. The question I would have is that with Tony La Russa, do you think those roles will be more structured and consistent than before, or will there be an element of you see how things play out, you see who fits where? Because when you look at the Sox and all the options they have at their disposal in the bullpen, they've got a lot of talent down there. I just wonder how will they hone that talent and use it to specifically define each guy's role?
Well, it certainly is an embarrassment of riches. And, you know, in boxing, what they say, David, is that everybody has a game plan until they get punched in the face. And you can have defined roles. Roles are defined, and that's terrific. But I do remember a guy that people in Chicago are very familiar with, a guy who won the occasional World Series. His name was Chuck Tanner. And I remember some of the younger pitchers going up to him and said, and bear in mind, this was in the early 70s. They said, well, what's my role? And he would take their glove, he would put a baseball in it, and he'd say, son, your role is when I give you the ball, you get people out. That's your role. And I think that's what's going to happen this year. Look, Hendricks is going to be at the end. You're going to have those bridge guys. Aaron Bummer is one of those guys. And please don't forget Garrett Crochet, because right, the man's unhittable. I mean, he has electric stuff that he's going to use this year and just baffle hitters. Imagine if you're an opposing hitter thinking about getting into a bullpen, maybe the sixth, the seventh inning, whatever, sometimes the eighth, and you're going to see Kopech and Crochet coming out as a lefty-righty fireball duo. It's not going to be real comfortable. Then you add in Aaron Bummer, who's got as good a stuff as you'll ever find. You take Marshall, you take Foster, you take each and every one of those guys that will come into the ball game. Each one throws harder than the next. Each one has stuff that only people aspire to. Most people will never get there. And then it's the utilization of those guys. So as far as roles, look, Hendricks is going to close games. But if he's in need of a day off, you're going to have Bummer being able to close games. And eventually, I think Crochet is going to be able to close games. I don't know if his destiny is in the bullpen. If it is, I mean, he's Aroldis Chapman. That's what you're looking at, a guy with good control, can throw the ball, you know, in triple digits consistently with a great hard slider. You know, we like to compare certain guys to other guys because you see success out of the bullpen. You say, well, he's exactly like that guy. If you're looking at this bullpen and you have all of these weapons at your disposal, you'll realize, like those great Kansas City teams, if you didn't have the lead after six innings, you lost the game. We're going to get to the point where if teams don't have the lead against the White Sox after six, they can phone it in, pack it up, go home, nice talking to you, see you tomorrow. That's what it's going to be, because the arms in this bullpen, and I'm not going to tell you they're going to be as good as those Kansas City teams. I will tell you the arms in this bullpen are better than the arms in those Kansas City bullpens when they were winning their championships. So we're going to find the usage being very important, but it's going to, electricity-wise, it's going to devastate a whole lot of teams. I think collectively they'll be the best bullpen in baseball. And we'll have to see. Now they have to go out and prove it.
Yeah, that's fantastic stuff. Steve, we talked to Chris Getz earlier in the week, as you heard, on the way in. And I had been to the fan convention a couple times and you know, before they had to suspend it. And both times he said that Dylan Cease was kind of his breakthrough pitcher. And I was, you know, kind of asking him, is it still Dylan Cease as your breakthrough guy? And he said that his breakthrough guys were Jimmy Lambert and Jonathan Stever. And then, you know, a day later, you hear Tony La Russa talking about how they're going to keep them stretched out and kind of waiting to help out if they need more help with starting pitching. And I was thinking that maybe in particular Jimmy Lambert could be kind of a Dane Dunning type if you needed that this year. He could be this year's answer to a guy that came up and did pretty well in a short stint, maybe a longer stint this year.
Well, I think we started this segment talking about starting pitching, how you need your five and a couple of insurance policies. I think you named the insurance policies. So, yeah, they're going to be there. They're going to have to stay stretched out because you're going to probably need another starter or two as we move along. Nobody can predict injuries. Then you have the competition between Lopez and Rodon. Who's going to win that? Who's going to go perhaps to the bullpen and give you innings out there? Who's going to stay in the rotation? So at least at first, you're not going to see a whole lot of innings out of these guys. You have guys that are capable of innings. Giolito, a lot of innings. Keuchel's going to give you five or six just about every time out. Lance Lynn is an innings eater. He's going to give you six or seven just about every time out. So that's going to help the bullpen. But the key, one of the keys in the starting rotation will be four and five. I think Dylan Cease is a guy that's going to benefit as much as anybody and probably better than most from Ethan Katz. I think he's worked with him already. You know, it's really interesting. You hear so much and so many people talk about the new innovations of baseball. You guys who have heard me evaluate pitching for a long time, I talk a lot about staying closed, staying over the back foot longer, a couple of tricks to do that. And it's like hearing these young pitchers talk about, well, you know what, I've got to keep the weight over the back foot. I just have to do that. I have to stay close a little bit longer. They've been saying that since they invented pitching. It's nothing new. But there's keys to it, and I'll give you two. There's people out there who have either grandchildren, have nephews, have sons that are pitchers. Two things. Number one, if you're a right-hander, it's a left shoulder. The left shoulder, you touch your chin when you come back and deliver. You can't do it, but if you think about the left shoulder touching your chin, you'll stay closed. Also, think about showing the hitter your number. If you're a pitcher either side, you show the hitter your number, that means you have to stay closed to show the hitter your number. Again, you're not going to be able to do that unless you're Louis Tiant in his heyday. But those are two things that we've used forever. There's emphasis on that. Dylan Cease will benefit the most by that. Michael Kopech is going to benefit by that. But this is back to the future stuff. This is things that we talk about forever in pitching. And now Ethan Katz is reintegrating that. That's why I say he's got a good feeling for the old, and he can speak new pitching to the younger pitchers. He's going to benefit them all. And these are some of the keys, and that's the key for Cease. He doesn't want to cut that fastball. He doesn't want it moving away from right-hand hitters. When he throws his fastball with backspin, he wants to make sure that it rides, that he gets that little extra lift on it. And he's going to be able to do that. I think the greatest progress you'll see immediately will be Dylan Cease. I think you'll see progress in Kopech. I think you'll see progress in all of these guys. And to me, I just can't wait to get this season started, guys. I wish it started tomorrow. It doesn't. We have to wait a little bit longer. But, you know, the main thing when you have a very talented baseball team is stay healthy throughout the spring. That's why when all of these fans are saying, why are they cutting the game short? This is not baseball. This is poor sportsmanship. You know, you leave with the bases loaded. Settle down, folks. It's early in the spring. There's no minor leaguers this year. You don't have all those extra arms in camp, so they want to protect the guys that they have. Because costly middle spring training, late spring training injuries can derail a baseball team. The White Sox, Tony La Russa, and his entire staff want to make sure that doesn't happen.
Steve, offensively, obviously as a Sox fan, I think maybe in the offseason you got greedy. You wanted them to go, okay, Nelson Cruz rumor, I like that, go pay for him. Or maybe get a veteran bat to play, to plug in at the designated hitter spot. At the same time, right, I think you respect the fact they want to develop Andrew Vaughn and they like what they see. But how would you describe the challenge that he faces in making that leap from high A pitching, that's the highest level he's been at, I believe, to major league pitching on a regular basis? And what's realistic to expect from him?
I can't really put a number on what he's going to do because I don't know when he's going to start this season in the middle of this lineup as a DH. Look, everybody, including me, and we talked about it early, wanted that left-handed, difference-making, designated hitter who probably wasn't out there, certainly at the price range that the Sox were looking. But when you take a look at this lineup, just start thinking a little bit about the lineup. Nick Madrigal hit well over 300 last year. He's the contact hitter hitting at the bottom of the order. Tim Anderson is going to contend for a batting title every year. Moncada is going to come back and be healthy enough after COVID to be able to be the guy we saw a couple of years ago. By the way, he was in the top 10 in hitting 2 years ago. He's going to be probably back there again, and especially a force from the left side. You got Eloy out in left field. I mean, Eloy Jimenez is one of the best young hitters in the game. You look at what he's doing in the spring. Luis Robert is starting to understand what pitchers are doing with him. Whether it's Adam Engel or Adam Eaton, the Adams that we have in right field, they're going to produce. I think Engel gets better with every passing day. Then you look at Abreu. You know, you can't overlook him. He's one of the great hitters in baseball. Behind the plate, Grandal is a tremendous offensive force. And you look at this lineup and you say to yourself, okay, well, would I want to pitch against this team? And obviously, I would not. They're going to take mediocre pitching and absolutely kill them. They're going to hit the occasional, you know, ones and twos. Like most people, you're dominated on occasion, but this team won't be dominated too often. They've got plenty of offense. The offense is just fine. Would you love to have another guy? Of course. You'd love to add Mike Trout if you could, but you can't. So offensively, this team is going to score. They've got speed. They have a versatile offense. They have a couple of contact hitters. They've got some guys who can get the job done. They've got their table setters. They have their big bangers. And I keep hearing they're going to throttle the ball back a little bit, that it's not going to be as lively as last year. I haven't seen it yet because it is flying out of the ballpark quite a bit, although not for the Sox at this point. But they don't want to peak here at the beginning of March. They want to get this team on a crescendo to peak toward the end of spring training. So they're not scoring a lot of runs. They're not winning a lot of games. I just tell people the same thing. Before they shut it down last year, does anybody know what the Dodgers' record in spring training was? And everybody has this blank stare that I talked to. And I said, no, you can't tell me what it was because it doesn't matter. Don't worry about records. Worry about the health of the ball club. It's a good and could be a great team. And so we'll see how that pans out. But, you know, this is a long run-up to the season. You don't want to get your team ready for opening day on March 4th, 5th, 6th, whatever the case may be. You want them to get ready as they move along. Tony's been through this a whole lot. He understands how to get his team to the starting point of spring training and then get the momentum up, get everything going toward opening day. When the bell rings in Anaheim, this team will be ready to go.
Steve, I know it's a rich man problem, but I do worry about the backup catcher. Just because Grandal's got the twisted knee and all the rest of it. I know they brought in Jonathan Lucroy, and it looks like he'll be the guy. I wonder what you think of Collins, of Zach Collins, as a backup catcher, as a potential designated hitter. I mean, is he a guy, can you afford to keep three guys in order, or does he need to go and learn that craft more? What's your take on how they employ him this year?
Well, somewhere along the line, they're going to have to make the decision that Zach Collins can play or he can't play. And if he can't play, then you move him. But I think eventually he's going to be a pretty good catcher in the major leagues. I think eventually he'll probably be a number one. It's not going to be here. You sang Grandal for a long time. Lucroy is a more than capable backup who happens to be hitting very well this spring.
Right.
You know, you've got a few guys back there. Mercedes is intriguing because he hits every place he's ever gone. I'm not sure how well he's going to catch, but he's a guy that can really swing the bat. So you have a number of candidates back there, but I think that because he swings from the left side and because Zach Collins has power, I wouldn't be disappointed at all if he makes the ball club because you can use him as the occasional DH. He realizes one of the soft spots in his game was the defensive aspect of what he was doing, and he knows he can get better there. So he's changed his style. He's using a different style to receive the baseball. He wants to work on his framing. He wants to get to the point where, Yasmani Grandal is state-of-the-art as far as framing the baseball. He receives the ball very well. He has some other problems with blocking pitches on occasion, but he receives the ball well. framing is one of the things that catchers pride themselves on. And Collins knows to be a guy who gets a lot of work behind the plate, he's got to take that framing aspect of his game and improve on it. Also blocking pitches. Also, you know, he's a big catcher, so movement back and forth. You have to have mobility behind the plate. The guys that learn to slide on that shin guard, both left and right, to get to the ball, to smother it, to make sure that he's centering it with his body, those are the guys that are very valuable, especially to breaking ball pitchers. We're throwing so many breaking balls these days and so many hard sliders that wind up in the dirt that a catcher has to be accomplished at blocking pitches, because only then can you get the confidence of your pitcher. If your pitcher knows that you cannot throw the ball by the catcher, if the ball stays in front of him, if you don't throw it over his head, then he's going to give you his best curve, his best slider. He's going to give you his best pitch in the dirt as a wipeout pitch. But if he has any doubt that the catcher is going to be able to stop it, all of a sudden it's a psychological aspect where you're not going to throw that best buried slider. You're not going to see that because you're afraid the man from third is going to score, or the tying run is going to move from first to second base where he scores on a single. That's what Collins has to work on. That's what he is working on. We're seeing it every day. These guys know where the soft spots are. And the really aware players don't work on the stuff they do exceptionally well every day. They work on the stuff that they need to get better. And I think as a number three on this roster, for me, Zach Collins fits. But that's a Tony La Russa and his staff a decision to see where they want to go with that.
Steve, what a joy talking to you. I got to tell you, I was excited about the season. I'm now shot out of a cannon. Great talking to you.
Great catching up, Steve.
Guys, take care. Have a good show, and it's going to be a great year, and I will be talking to you guys throughout the season. We'll get in-depth baseball, and we'll do some lunacy on occasion. So take care. I'll talk to you guys
awesome.
Down the road.
Awesome. Great Looking
stuff,
forward
Steve.
To that.
God bless you. That Thanks, is Steve Stone. Wow, does that fire me up? You could hear he's jacked just talking about it.
You think he's excited about this season? Oh, my gosh.
Who is it?
It's awesome.
All right, we're going to talk to Dan and Layla next. It's Mully and Haw, The Score.
This segment is brought to you by Advent. If you have snoring, sleep apnea, or nasal breathing problems, go to AdventNose.com to schedule your appointment.
This is the Mully and Haw Morning Show, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports morning show, period. Mornings 5 to 9. Listen on your mobile device through the radio.com app and always on the radio at 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!